Hello. Welcome. Hi, Naz. It's very good to see your face. Listeners, it's good to taste your ears.
That's gross. That's gross.
Listen, it was the first thing that I see your face. I don't know. I don't have any physical interaction with these people whatsoever. And God willing, I'll keep it that way because I am a shut-in. Anyway, we're glad you're here. This is a bonus episode while we're between seasons. We're going to be back full on in October, but right now we're just doing some little baby bonuses. And this time we're going to talk about why it's so dang hard to apologize.
This is the Gendinol. I am Naz.
I'm Dan.
So yeah, we're doing this little mini bonus episode. So yeah, we're going to talk about why it's so hard to apologize. I feel like this is a topic that comes up in lots of ways on this show. So we're going to go back in, dive back into it.
Well, and it keeps coming up in the dang media.
Mm-hmm. Because of all these dudes who've done shitty things and don't want to apologize or don't want to look at it or, I don't know, just...
So we're immediately making it gendered is what you're saying.
Even though beforehand I was like, let's not make it gendered.
Yeah, before the show, I was going to say, like, why do men have trouble apologizing? And you were like, no, let's not right out of the gate make it about dudes. And then the first thing you say, oh, man. This is why we get all the emails that are like, Naz hates men.
No, we don't get those emails.
Well, we don't. I've never read. Well,
I feel like people think that.
We get a couple.
Speaking of which, write to us. It is thegendinol@gmail.com. We are getting tons of emails still about emotional labor and vulnerability. I feel like those topics are never going to die. Like, disenfranchised men died. But emotional labor and vulnerability.
You say, watch that just resurrect because you said it.
Dude, I love the Disenfranchised Men series.
But you know what's great? You know what's really great is that we got an email about vulnerability and emotional labor.
Exactly. I'm going to read that. It's even called Vulnerability Times Emotional Labor in the subject line. So let's have a quick read of this.
Ooh, what does it equals?
So this email is Katie from California. She says, hey, Naz and Dan, my husband and I listen to your podcast together every week and have especially loved your episodes on vulnerability and emotional labor. These topics always spark wonderful conversation and debate between us. We listened to Vulnerability Final Round today and ended up at Naz's discomfort with vulnerability culture and how it can perhaps create an environment of emotional labor instead of its supposed goal of emotional honesty. Naz talking about vulnerability culture made me flash back to the years I worked for a big fashion retailer and was regularly required to participate in store rallies and other performative acts of, quote, creating community, end quote. Vulnerability is a practice of self-love, and I believe it is something to be practiced first with oneself and then those you have emotional confidence with. Asking people to participate in group vulnerability culture, to me, is one of the worst forms of emotional labor, especially for women in the workplace. As people, we can't be asked to be vulnerable and emotionally open and honest all the time with everyone we have community with. I hold my vulnerability and courage to express it very close to my heart and practice sharing it with those who inherently value that practice. Asking people to bring that practice to broader community circles is, in my opinion, a direct act of engaging someone in emotional labor. Hear, hear, I agree, that's great. As a woman, it forced me into that special place of having to take care of others' feelings while trying not to be considered a cold or feckless bitch when all I really wanted to do was do my job, engage in the niceties, be a nice person, and go home. I really enjoyed Brené Brown's ideas, and they have helped in many ways in my personal courage and vulnerability. But I'm a firm believer that vulnerability needs to remain just that. Personal. Well-intentioned as vulnerability culture might be, an act that at its core is meant to be a practice of emotional fortitude instead turns emotionally exhausting when it becomes an act you're required to perform for others. Cool. Thanks, Katie from California.
Yeah. Katie gets it.
I'm across it, man. I'm across all that.
I was having a conversation last night over dinner about Brené Brown, and I was like, listen, I'm on board with a lot of the things she says, but it's the platform that I disagree with, and that's exactly what it is right there. Because right now, when you're doing it for 500 or 1,000 people, it's a performance. You're not being vulnerable. Anyway, Hell yeah, Katie. Also, I worked at a Best Buy when I was 19 years old, and we used to have to go to those dumb meetings, and there'd be like chants and stuff. Like, we'd have a morning meeting every day that was like, who's going to be the Best Buy? You know what I mean? Like, there were chants, and it was awful. It was, I never really equated that to emotional labor, but I'm sure it was.
But, dude, I don't. Two things. First of all, I don't think that's vulnerability culture. Secondly, emotional labor is a big workplace thing. In fact, I made a documentary about it that you never listened to. Which pissed me off.
I don't know that I have access to that documentary. We live in different countries and it's on the radio.
You you heard me on the radio while you were like doing stuff in your house. You were like, oh, you came on the radio. You sound so different on the radio. So you have heard me.
I have, but it's not up to me when American NPR plays BBC and plays the parts that you're on. I don't have control over that.
I sent you my emotional labor episode. I'm going to send it to you again. You better listen
anyway,
to it.
Anyway, all right, into it. So on to the
topic. I'm annoyed at you.
Well, I'm glad you're taking this opportunity to tell me on the show when it's not like we don't talk all the time outside of this. We talked for an hour yesterday, and you could have brought this up not in front of people.
Sorry.
This is embarrassing.
Is this mean?
Yeah, maybe. Here's the thing. I'm gonna just go ahead and take a leap here. I'm sorry that I haven't listened to it.
Oh, is that your way of segueing into our
episode
on apology?
Yeah. Was it good?
Yeah, no, that was nice. That was smooth. So we're going to talk about apologies and why it's so hard to apologize. There's a couple of reasons for this. So basically, Aziz Ansari, he came out with a new Netflix show this week or something like that.
And yeah, I think it's a special.
And loads of people are like chatting about how he didn't really apologize about the sexual assault or kind of sexual misconduct allegations from like about a year ago. So it's interesting that's been happening, because also a couple of days ago, a friend of mine was telling me about Eve Ensler's book, The Apology. So Eve Ensler, she's the awesome woman behind the Vagina Monologues. So my friend was telling me about this book. It's called The Apology. And then I went and listened to like loads of podcasts about it, because I haven't had a chance to pick up the book and read it. But basically it's about Eve Ensler, her relationship with her father, who was very abusive towards her. And he has passed away, and she writes an apology from him in terms of what she would have wanted to hear from him. And she talks a lot in these interviews and stuff about how men don't really have a script for how to apologize. And also in this Me Too era, there's like so many men who've been called out for, you know, abusive behavior towards women, and none of them have really reckoned or really properly apologized for their behavior. So I was like, this is like a, I don't know, I feel like there's a bit of a theme going on in the air right now with apologies.
Right. I mean, and it's as a fella, like, I understand a lot of reasons why someone might not apologize.
Someone,
you know,
or
I mean?
A guy. Because also,
well,
I
specifically,
want...
Specifically a guy, but... I mean, I think it's hard for people to apologize in general, right? Yeah. I think it's really easy to say, like, I'm sorry I fucking scratched your table or whatever. Like, I think that's easy, right? But, like, okay, for example, and hopefully they don't listen to this, but a buddy of mine, gay guy... That needs to be said, just so people don't know that, don't think it's like some hetero dude. But like a gay friend of mine texted me today, and he goes, "Hey, do you know how to replace the window pane in a door?" And I said, "I could probably figure it out, but I feel like it depends on the door." And he goes, "Okay, well, don't tell so and so, but I had to break into her house today." And so like he's like, "I'm not going to tell her until I get it fixed," because he's like watching her dog. And she's a mutual friend. And so, like, I think it's like, depending on the level, like, apologies can be very hard for, I think, a lot of people.
Well, it's
because right?
you have to look at yourself, and that's harder than looking.
Well, he has to admit, I was walking your dog without my phone, and I was dumb, and I left my keys inside, and I had to throw a rock through your window.
Yeah, but I think with, like, more... No, not to dismiss that, with slightly more serious things, it's not so much about facing up to someone else, it's like having to look at yourself.
Sure, that's
and
a huge part of it.
No, but that's a bigger deal. That's like scarier than looking at someone else and saying, I messed up, is the fact that you actually have to realize, hey, I'm not that great after all.
I mean, I think, well, there's so much in that, right? Like, it's all about whatever level of self-worth you already are maintaining. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think if somebody has, like, a negative sense of self-worth, I think it's very hard to apologize because it is again, glancing in that
yeah, and saying that I have,
of
I'm
what
flawed.
A piece of shit I am.
I'm flawed, right?
And if they have, like, an astronomical self-worth, like, some sort of, like, crazy narcissist, they just simply can't see it because their mirror is distorted the complete other direction and it, like, bounces off that negative, you know what I mean?
Well, narcissists don't have a lot of self-worth, but that's a different discussion.
Okay, you're right. Okay, sure. But
it is the thing of, like, having to look at yourself, I think, which is harder. But I am wondering, and it's not that I think women are better at apologizing, because there's loads of problems there too. But I think Eve Ensler's point is interesting there, where she's talking about this Me Too era and, like, that, you know, are there proper apologies from men? Do they even know how to apologize? What is it about the culture and being a man that makes that a bit unique?
Something she said was that, and I think it was in the voice of her father in the book, she said that if a man apologizes, he's betraying all men.
Mm.
And, like, I think that's a big part of it, right? Because you and I were talking about this, I think, yesterday, where I don't know that men have more to lose, per se. I mean, sure we do, but, like, I think our apologies are bigger. Especially white, straight men. Our apologies are bigger. Because
Wait.
We, like,
no,
no
your
one
mistakes
else has
are
had 6,000...
Your
right,
mistakes are bigger.
Right. The apology for... The mistakes that are being apologized are bigger. Like, it's 6,000 years plus.
Right.
Of, I'm sorry I broke that.
Right.
I'm sorry I smashed your window for 6,000 straight years, and that window was your dignity and your face and your body. And if one guy does it, everybody has to do it, which is something that she said. She said if one man does it, the patriarchy starts to crumble, and that's why no one has done it. And I'll go on record. I have ghosted people in the past. I was not a great man in my 20s. I am a recovering alcoholic. And you know what? I'm sorry. Is that good?
Yeah,
did I do it?
It is.
Is the patriarchy crumbling? But again, I think apologies are hard for everybody. I think they're hard for everybody because there's just something so... And I think it's intertwined with vulnerability, right? Because there's something scary about how people are going to perceive us once they know that we're not perfect. We're not this thing that we tricked them into believing we are. And it's not until we actually just blind faith jump into the honesty that we can find out what they believe about us after we've said it. And I feel like if more guys came out and said, hey, listen, in my 20s, I was kind of a dick. I didn't know who I was back then. I didn't really know how to treat people. You know, society didn't really give us as men a lot of opportunities to feel our feelings and understand the worth of people around us. And as a result, and not necessarily as a result, because I'm taking ownership of it, but I acted poorly and I made bad decisions and I hurt people and I'm genuinely sorry about that and I don't want to live like that anymore. I feel like if more men said things like that, and by the way, those are my personal opinions. Let's cut that out and make it just so, like, I just said it and there was no context around it. It's just me talking. But I feel like if most dudes said things like
that. Yeah, but said it to who? Like,
or at least anyone, right? Like,
no,
it's
no,
Harvey
no, 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 no. But
wait.
There's a context because you said all this stuff about, like, okay, as a man, you know, I'm sorry for this is the context of why I acted shitty. But what are you talking about? To individually go to each person they've been shitty to and say that, or what? Like,
well, I think it depends on the scope, right? Like, I'm just a normal person. I'm not some crazy famous celebrity who's being ousted.
No,
from
but
my
that apology.
Producer job.
No, that example of an apology you gave, like. How would
Again,
that be
I think,
used?
I think it's context, right? I think some people
to not
the best
be abstract,
that,
to not be abstract about
right.
it.
Right, and I am. I'm gonna be specific. I think that there are people that I have and will continue to say things like that to in person as the opportunities arise. There are other people, I'm speaking specific of one woman. There's one woman, and I don't know if she listens to this, but we dated when I was 28 or 29 years old, and we lived together for a short while. And I honestly, I think the best apology that I can ever give to her is to just never have my name pop up in her brain again.
Okay, so
I was... Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
So actually, okay, this is a really important point because I have been thinking about this a lot, not just the past couple of days. This came up in our episode, How to Make Amends. I also sometimes wonder about how self-serving apologies can be because I think right. of, I think of this in two ways. Number one, I think of a lot of people who have acted poorly towards me. I'm not really interested in an apology because then I have to sit there and be like, yeah, it's okay. And I'm like, no, it's not effing okay. Do you know what I mean? That kind of puts the emotional labor on me to have to be nice and quote unquote forgiving.
For me to sit on the other side of the table and get a clean conscience.
Exactly. And number two, as someone who has done not great things as well, like there have been people where I'm like, maybe I should give them an apology. And I'm like, that's kind of to make me feel better. And like you said, I'm like, they probably never really want to hear from me again.
Right.
And I feel like what I prefer to that, again, everyone's different. This is just my opinion. I feel like, okay, instead of going around giving apologies, I have done the work, so I don't behave like that again. And with other people, I'm less interested in like, hey, nah, sorry, blah, blah, blah. I mean, if they want to give me that with the understanding that A, I don't need to like tell them, yeah, it's okay or whatever. And that B, they're going to explain what they're doing to not behave like that again. I feel like
Absolutely.
I'm more interested in people doing the work than apologizing.
Well, and I think a really important part that's missing from a lot of apologies is exactly what you're saying, which is like, well, what are you doing to demonstrate that?
Yeah. And also like that, on a regular basis, what steps are you taking to make sure that you don't behave like that towards other people?
Right. And I think a big thing that people miss is, and you don't know, and here's the thing, and I think this is the scary part, like, well, what do I do? What as a man do I do differently? How do I act differently? I'm already not abusing people, but like, what can I be doing? And I think that what the simplest place to start is when you're saying sorry to someone, when you're making that declaration of apology, just ask. Just say, hey, what can I do to help make this up to you or to like carry this out in my day-to-day life?
Yeah.
Right? Like if somebody came to you with an apology, what you're saying is like, oh, great, that's great, but what are you doing?
It's not so great because they're trying to make me tell them, it's fine. Whereas it's not effing fine.
That was not an actual great. That was you going great, 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 whatever, sure.
Eye rolly great.
But like if they said to you, Naz, I'm really sorry I did this to you and I feel terrible, what can I do?
Right.
I think that's a different story. And
yeah,
I think
maybe.
It's a different starting place. Because then they're actually like putting that maybe they're not even doing work yet, but they're demonstrating a willingness to do work.
Maybe that's why I've not given in. There are apologies I could have given that I haven't because I'm like, meh, I went and did the work instead. But I don't know. Yeah, I'm interested in what people think, though, because there are a lot of schools of thoughts about like an apology is the first step to doing the work or to acknowledging there's a problem. So maybe that is also a thing. I don't want to say it's not legit. I have found, actually, in terms of me and the apologies I probably owe some people, aside from like having done the work, I also feel like not having a clear conscience and stuff is quite helpful as well. In terms of like times when I might be acting like a dick, remembering that, hey, you can be a dick, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel that's quite useful. Whereas if I had given apologies and then I was like, well, now I feel fine about it, maybe that wouldn't protect me from...
A vacant apology is just an opportunity to continue bad behavior, in my opinion, right?
Right. No, but more in terms of sometimes continuing to feel slightly bad about something you've done can actually be good because it stops you from being a dick again.
Oh, Absolutely. So I mean, that's why I don't drink anymore, because I try to remember what happens when I drink.
But there's also another thing with apologies. Actually, I haven't told you about this, but I'm just going to bring it up. I also think sometimes we might have a duty not to accept apologies. And I'll tell you why I've been thinking about that. So a couple of weeks ago, I watched a documentary by Louis Theroux, who is awesome. So he made this documentary called The Night in Question, and it's about campus rape on US college campuses. So he follows the story of this one guy who's been accused of rape and this guy's sort of journey and fight to clear his name. And in the middle of this documentary, he also interviews, I think her name's Emma Solkovitz. So she was a student at Columbia a few years ago. She claimed to have been raped by someone, and I think the school let him off. And she carried a mattress around campus with
yeah,
her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember her.
Yeah, and I think a lot. She's now a professional artist, and I think quite a lot of her art is about that incident as well. So Louis goes to her art studio, and he interviews her. And at one point, she says something along the lines of, all she wanted from the guy was an apology for what he'd done.
Boo.
And Louis, which I thought was pretty awesome of him, he pulls her up on it. And he says something along the lines of, rape is one of the most serious crimes in the world. How can you just be okay with an apology? Which I thought was really good of him, because I know that we talk about like the victim and what does the victim want, and that's all important and stuff. But I think Louis's point was important in terms of, it's not just about what happened between these two people. It's a thing about not sending a message to this guy that what he did was okay and he can just get out of it with an apology. So I sometimes think maybe we shouldn't accept apologies when it's something really serious, you know, regardless of how we feel. Because I feel like we always have a responsibility to wider society as well.
Absolutely. Like, and you know, not to like, I don't think it's my job as anyone to tell somebody how they should feel about, you know, that sort of like action again, like that sort of crime against them. But yeah, sometimes we have to think outside ourselves, right? I think I have to think, as, you know, a survivor of sexual assault, I have to think, well, what is going to help other future potential victims or whatever, you know what I mean? And not just me. And in that case, it's like an apology would be a lot better if this dude was in jail.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like, to be quite honest, like a big part of a genuine apology is accepting the consequences for your actions. Mm-hmm. You know? And so like going like, hey, I'm sorry. And I agree with you. I deserve to be in jail. So that's where I'll be if anyone needs me for the next 15. So, which, and let's be honest, in the United States, he'll be out in 2 years. Fucking bullshit. Fucking, man, it is disgusting.
So that was Dan and I talking about apologies, why they're so hard. Send us your thoughts. I feel like we've become anti-apology people.
Yeah, well, we should start a Patreon where people can listen to the fight we had in the middle of this that we've cut out.
Dude, I don't think it was that interesting. It was all about semantics. Well, come on.
We'll see if people want to give us some money. Maybe they'll tell us if it's interesting. Because there was like 15 minutes of us just like putting our mics down and like holding our temples in frustration.
We'll be back in a couple of weeks. Our co-producers are Sam Baker and Jonathan Blackwell.
God bless those two, and God bless us everyone.
Speak to you
soon. See ya.